I'm going to tell a story this morning. I don't tell a story about being broken. About being broken. Most of us at one time or another in our lives have been broken. Things in our lives that have been shattered. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about being broken. Because, see, God doesn't want to leave you that way. Amen? The Bible says He wants to make something new. You ever had an old refrigerator or an old washing machine or an old piece of something, you know, that just kept breaking down and it just, you know, you fixed on it and repaired on it and patched on it and it just, you know, but it just kept having problems with it. And there came that day when you finally said, it's time to break down and buy a new one. It's time for something new. So let's get a new refrigerator, or let's get a new washing machine. The Bible says that God doesn't put patches on old garments. Your salvation is not God patching an old garment. It's not God patching you up. It's not God taking what has been ruined and what is broken and saying, well, I can fix it. That's our mentality. That's how we think. We think we can fix it. I can fix it. That's not what God says. God says you're ruined. One of the things I want you to see this morning is the end of yourself. If you can come to the end of yourself, God can really do something extraordinary in your life. But you have to realize you're broken. And for a lot of you here, you need to realize you used to be broken. You're not what you were. Amen? So there comes a time when you get something new. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to give you something new, make you a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things are made new. When God saved you, He made you new. He didn't patch you up. He didn't put glue on you. He made you new. Amen? Say, I'm new. You're a new creature in Christ. So you're not what you were. You're not broken anymore. But it's okay to remember what you were, but just to remember that you're not still that. Let's look at a scripture this morning in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7. And then we're going to tell a story. And I'm going to tell a story this morning that a lot of you may not have heard out of the Bible. And it's not often told, but it's very powerful. And I'm going to tell a story about a young boy by the name of Mephibosheth, who grew to become a man. And I want to tell his story because there's a lot we can learn from it. A lot we can learn about being broken. Amen? Oh, yeah. 2 Samuel 9, 7 says, David says to Mephibosheth, don't be afraid, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always. Saul was his grandfather, who was king of Israel. And to this Mephibosheth responds, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Broken. Broken. Father, I love you so much. And I know you specialize in broken pieces. You specialize in broken lives. You specialize in broken hearts. God, that's what you do. That when we're broken and shattered, and our lives are just messed up and we don't know where to turn or where to go, you are so faithful to take the broken pieces when we bring them to you to put them back together again. So just speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, and we thank you for what you've set before us today. And we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Saul was king of Israel, and he had a son by the name of Jonathan, who had a son by the name of Mephibosheth, a baby. Jonathan and David were like best friends, best buddies. David was brought into the household of Saul, was found favor. But later Saul became jealous of him because the hand of God was on him. But Jonathan had saved David's life. He loved David. They were so close. Well, Jonathan and David got in a fight against the Philistines. They were in a war. And the Philistines were their arch enemies. And in this battle, Saul, king of Israel, was killed. And his son Jonathan was also slain on the field of battle. And word got back to David that he would now be king of Israel, that Jonathan had been killed and that Saul had been killed. And rather than rejoice over their deaths, David grieved over their loss, even though Saul had tried to kill him. And he grieved over Jonathan. But David became king, and he had all the power of a king over a kingdom. And at that time in history, the power of zenith of the kingdom of Israel under David and Solomon had kind of reached a peak. It was by no means the world's greatest power, but they had a strong kingdom. And so David sat in a place of power and authority as king of Israel. But he had a heart for Jonathan and a heart to do something for Jonathan. So he called his people together and he said, I want you to do something for me. I want to bless the household of Jonathan. I want to remember his household. I want to give him a legacy. I want you to go and see, can you find, are there any remaining descendants? Who's out there that may be connected to the household of Saul and the household of Jonathan? They came back. You know what they found? They found that Jonathan had a son. Saul had a grandson by the name of Mephibosheth. When Jonathan died, and the word got back that Saul had been killed and was no longer king, and that David would be king, the nursemaid that was taking care of Mephibosheth was so fearful for his life, because it wasn't uncommon in those days for every member of a household of a previous dynasty or kingdom to be killed. So it was thought that they would come for the life of Mephibosheth, the baby, and they would kill him. So she grabbed him up in a hurry and was going to escape and go into hiding to protect the child Mephibosheth. And in her haste, she dropped the child, and he was hurt and wounded and crippled for life. And she took the crippled child to a place called, the Bible calls it Lodibar. Lodibar means barren. It was a place of poverty. It was a bad place. And that's where Mephibosheth was being raised. He was being raised as a cripple in abject poverty. He had nothing. They found him. And David said, bring him to me. And I'm sure everybody thought, he's going to kill that kid. That's the last remaining member of the household of Saul. He's going to eradicate any semblance of the house of Saul. But when Mephibosheth was brought in before David, we read the verse. David said, I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you will eat at my table always. David called for a ring to be put on his finger and bring new clothes. And David said, son, you're going to be like a son to me. And you're going to live in my house and you're going to eat at my table. And I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to restore to you everything that your father and grandfather owned. I'm going to make you wealthy and I'm going to bless you. And David took this little crippled out of nowhere and brought him in and showed him grace and sat him at his table and blessed him. Years later, Mephibosheth's fully grown man. This is the story I want to tell today. Most of you know that story, the one I just told, but a lot of you don't know this story. Years later, Mephibosheth is grown, living in the palace. He has everything. Life is good. He's been blessed, but something goes wrong. And what went wrong was a young man by the name of Absalom. As Absalom was the son of David, Absalom had long, beautiful hair. He was handsome. He was built. He's the guy that all the girls swooned over when he walked through the streets. Good looking, handsome, wealthy, son of the king, Absalom. Just the name, just kind of, there's Absalom. And Absalom was so caught up in all that he was that he decided he could do it better than his daddy. And he started building coalitions behind his daddy's back and started creating jealousies and dissension and division and started building his own kingdom. And he rebelled against his father and convinced many in the army to follow him. And David ended up having to run for his life because Absalom came to take over the throne of his father. And he had enough of an army and enough backing that David and those that still followed David had to flee for their lives. It was a coup. It was an overthrow. It was a rebellion. And David had to gather together his family and what little he could. And I want you to see this picture. David, King David, is fleeing the city for his life with his family. With almost nothing. It's quite a picture. David has left the city and is out in the wilderness just trying to survive, fearful of what his son will do if he catches him. When all of a sudden a guy arrives with a donkey and a lot of supplies, because they had left in such a hurry, they didn't have food, they didn't have supplies, and this guy shows up with a lot of supplies, and he could curry favor with David and with the king. His name is Ziba. And David sees him, and David is thankful that he has showed up with all of these things that they could use. But Ziba had a purpose in the household of David. He was the servant of Mephibosheth. Because Mephibosheth was crippled and needed help. And that was Ziba's job. So David looks at the donkey and David looks at the stuff and he's thankful for all of that. But his first question was, where's Mephibosheth? Where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba looked at David and said, he stayed behind. He stayed behind. Yeah, he thinks that if Absalom comes in and takes over, that he might anoint Mephibosheth as king of Israel. And that he could be restored to his father's throne. It was a lie. And David is crushed. Can you imagine? I mean, his son has rebelled against him. He's been thrown out of his kingdom. He's running for his life. And now this young boy that he showed so much grace to is stayed behind and wants his own throne and his own kingdom. And David is just devastated. And in his anger, David says, well, not that he really has the power to do it, but because he's used to being a king and he's used to having power, he says, well, then everything that belonged to Mephibosheth shall belong to you, Ziba. It was kind of an empty gesture, at least at that point. But then we move along in the story. Absalom is later defeated. Absalom is killed. David is restored back to his throne, and he comes back into Jerusalem as the victor and as king, and everything is made right. And I want us to look at our next verse. It's out of 2 Samuel chapter 19. The next verse says, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. David has come back in to the city in all of his glory. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, comes down to meet the king. He had neither taken care of his feet, nor trimmed his beard, or washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came back in safety. Mephibosheth has been in mourning. He hasn't even washed his clothes. He hasn't bathed. He hasn't trimmed his hair. He hasn't shaved. He hasn't done anything. He's been heartsick. And when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said to him, 'I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go with the king, for your servant is lame.'" Mephibosheth couldn't do all of that. He was counting on his servant to do it. "He has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Do therefore what seems good to you. If you think I've betrayed you, if you think I've hurt you in some way, you do what seems right, but you're like an angel of God to me. For all my father's house were but men doomed to death before my lord the king, but you set your servant among those who eat at your table. I was nothing but a dead dog when you found me. I was nothing, and you put me at your table. What further right have I then to cry to the king? What do I have to complain about?" And the king said to him, "Why speak any more of your affairs? I don't want to hear it. I have decided you and Ziba shall divide the land." Now David retracts. He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't know who to believe." That's what he's saying. "I don't know who to believe. I'll give you half of it, and I'll give Ziba half of it. We'll just do that. We'll divide the land." And Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him have it all, since my lord the king has come safely home." You got to love the heart of Mephibosheth. David said, "Well, I tell you, I'm just going to divide y'all's stuff. You can have half of it." And Mephibosheth said, "I don't want the stuff. I don't want the lands. I don't want the money. All I want is you. I'm just thankful you're back and you're king. I never wanted any of that stuff to begin with. I'm just thankful you're back home." And David knew. And you read on later, he ended up giving everything, restoring everything back to Mephibosheth. David knew then, he knew then what had happened and what had taken place. But there's some lessons we learn out of this, and I want to share them with you real quick. Number one is what he said to David. Because see, David in this little story is like Jesus. He's like our king. How loyal are you to Jesus? How dedicated and committed are you to Jesus? I'm going to tell you something about me. I know what it is to be broken. I know what it is to have Jesus put my life back together. I know what it is, and I'm sold out to him. I'm in love with him. He's my heart. He's my passion. Mephibosheth said, "David, you're like an angel of God to me. You don't know what you mean to me." Folks, how much does Jesus mean to you? How passionate are you about Jesus? How in love are you with Jesus? That he is your, I mean, it's just you get up every morning thinking about Jesus and you go to bed thinking about Jesus. There's a little story, writing that says, Jesus came from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of a woman. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became the Son of Man that we might become sons of God. He came from heaven where the rivers never freeze, where the winds never blow, where the frosts never chill the air and flowers never fade, and no one is ever sick. There are no undertakers and no graveyards, for no one ever dies and no one is ever buried. He was born contrary to the laws of nature, lived in poverty, reared in obscurity, only once crossed the boundary of the land in childhood. He had no wealth or influence and had neither training nor education. His relatives were inconspicuous and not influential. In infancy, he startled a king. In boyhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the billows and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, yet not all the libraries of the world could hold all the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, yet he has furnished the theme of more songs than all writers combined. He never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast of as many students as he has had sit at his feet. He never practiced medicine, yet he's healed more broken hearts than doctors have ever healed broken bodies. He never marshaled an army, drafted a soldier, or fired a gun, and yet no leader ever made more volunteers who have, under his orders, made rebels stack arms of surrender without a shot being fired. He is the star of astronomy. He is the rock of geology. He is the lion and lamb of zoology. He is the harmonizer of all discord and the healer of all diseases. Great men have come and gone, but he lives on. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. Men. Hallelujah. That's my Jesus. That's our Jesus. Don't you love him? Don't you love him? Oh, Mephibosheth loved David. Wouldn't you love somebody that if you were like a dead dog, he brought you out of the pit? The Bible says he brought us out of the pit and set our feet on a solid rock. Brought me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a solid rock. He took away every sin, every wrong, everything that stood against me, all the black spots and scars and stains of sin. He washed away and made me a new creature in Christ. I'm telling you, I am in love with Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I boldly proclaim it. Amen. Amen. Let the world mock him. Let the world laugh. But I'm raising my standard and flag. I stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Number two position for someone that's broken is total submission. The next thing that Mephibosheth said was, David, you do whatever seems right to you. Folks, we need to quit fighting God. We need to bow down. We need to surrender. A lot of our problem, and I'm just going to tell you, the problem comes down to one word, obedience. Obedience. Just obey. Just do the things that God wants you to do. Do you know, our problem's not a knowledge problem. You know that band that went around for a long time people wore that said WWJD? What would Jesus do? Let me tell you something. That's the easiest question to answer in the world. That's not a hard question. I can tell you in a heartbeat, all of you know what Jesus would do. And you don't have to think, you don't have to think very long about it either. You think of the situation you're in and you're trying to decide what to do and you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You know instantly what he would do. That's not our problem. Our problem is doing it. Our problem is obedience. We know what Jesus would do, but we just need to learn to bow down. We just learn. You want your home to be better? You want your life to be better? You want to walk under the blessings of the Lord? I got a word for you. Obedience. Some of you don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. And you begin to walk in obedience, just say, you know what some of us need to do? I should have brought in a bunch of white flags this morning. Some of us just need to raise a white flag. I know a time in my life when I had to. I know a time in my life when I had to quit playing games with God. I know a time in my life when I had to raise a white flag and really, really surrender and say, I'm done. I'm not fighting anymore. I'm sold out and I bow the knee and he is Lord. Amen. He is Lord. Say, he is Lord.
He is Lord.
And thirdly, be amazed by grace. Hallelujah. Be amazed by grace. Mephibosheth never got over the fact that when he stood there before David, fully expecting to die, instead of pulling out a sword, David pulled out a ring and a robe and said, you're going to be my son. He never got over that. He never got over the grace of God. I'm going to tell you something. 1986, I had a revelation of God's grace. That seems like a long time ago, but I've never gotten over it. I've never gotten over it. I've never gotten over the grace of God. There's nothing like the grace of God. We love that song, Amazing Grace, but folks, His grace is way more amazing than you know. Amen. We don't know how amazing the grace of God is. It will take eternity. The Bible says that He will show the riches of His grace in the ages to come. It will take eternity to reveal the depth of the riches of God's grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Just rejoicing in all that God has done for me. And number four, a sense of having no right or no claim. He said, what further right have I than to cry to the king? Hallelujah. What further right have I? There comes a time when it's not about me. Amen? Have you noticed how there's always people that want to have the last word? They're just always going to have the last word. You know, you're like, well, let's see, yeah, but. Yeah, I know, but let's just, no, but I want, you know, and it's like, just stop. We haven't learned, you know why? Because we think we have all these rights and we're so ready to defend ourselves. The Bible says that He loves the peacemaker. Those that seek after peace. You know what we need to learn? We need to learn to surrender our selfishness to Jesus. If you really make Him Lord and you really make Him King, it's not about you, it's about Him. It's never about what I wanted or what I thought, amen? But it's about bowing to Him. And lastly, remember who you were, but also know who you are. Mephibosheth never forgot, I used to be a dead dog. I used to be broken. I was nothing. But because of what David did, because of what He gave me, look at where I am today. And he never forgot that. He never forgot that. And we need to be real careful that we don't forget that we used to be bound in the chains of sin. We used to be bound by the powers of hell. We used to be a slave to all the things of this world. We used to live in darkness and live in shame. But the Bible says you are now a citizen of heaven. The Bible says you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you are the temple of God. The Bible says you are the light of the world. The Bible says you are a member of Christ's body. The Bible says you are a member of God's household. The Bible says you are a new creation. The Bible says you are adopted as His child. The Bible says you are blameless. The Bible says you are alive in Christ. The Bible says you are born again. You are a new creation. The Bible says you are Christ's friend. The Bible says you are completed in God. The Bible says you've been crucified in Christ. The Bible says you're dead to sin. The Bible says you're delivered. You're faithful. You're forgiven. The Bible says you're God's child. You're God's co-worker. You're God's workmanship. The Bible says you've been healed from sin. The Bible says you're holy and blameless. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror. The Bible says you are no longer under condemnation. The Bible says that you are an overcomer. The Bible says you are a part of God's kingdom. The Bible says you've been raised up in Christ, redeemed from the curse of the law. You are the salt and light of the earth. You are the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So whatever you used to be, broken, that's not who you are today. Amen. 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 Let's stand together.